Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Our next conversation may not be suitable for young ears, even though it's about middle schoolers, because they're exploring sexuality and bullying. Girls in particular navigating a Lord of the Flies-like gauntlet where reputations can be ruined at the drop of a rumor. When Emily Linden was in middle school in the late 1990s, she had an encounter with a boy, some mild touching, but she was called a slut, and it stuck. She kept diaries. When she was 27, she dug them out, and they're the basis for her new memoir, Unslut, a diary and a memoir, and also for something called the Unslut Project, helping others get through slut shaming. Emily joins us now. Emily, welcome.
Thanks, Robin.
And we should say that you are not Emily, that Emily Linden isn't your real name. You adopted it and changed the names in your diary. So what, you could protect people you went to school with?
Yeah, I published these diaries online first about 2.5 years ago, and I realized that if I were changing everyone else's names to protect them, I needed to change my own as well. So Emily Linden is a pen name, and I'm really glad I use it. The book's purpose isn't to humiliate anyone who bullied me when they were preteens or to even really expose them. I really hope that most people who come up in the book recognize that. And the feedback I've gotten so far from people who've recognized themselves despite the name changes has been really positive.
Tell us who you were, this young Emily. For one thing, you were physically advanced.
Right. I had developed breasts before most girls in my grade, and I was the first to get my period, as far as I know, when I was 10. So I had a lot of attention already just because of the way my body looked. Boys and girls were interested in my womanly figure versus what a lot of my classmates' bodies looked like. And I was going through puberty, so I was attracted to boys and flirting with them and just discovering this new feminine, you know, power that I had. And I had a crush on this boy whose name I've changed to Zach. Mm-hmm. And he reciprocated eventually, and I thought I was in love. I mean, I was 11, 12, 13 years old, and I would have done anything he asked me to. And one of those things was to go to third base, as we called it, which is basically just he put his hands down my pants.
Which is not the sex act itself. And yet, bam, that ricochets around school, and that's it. That's it for you. You're a slut.
Right. I mean, it was so easy back then for a rumor to completely derail all my friendships, and I blamed those rumors for really ruining my reputation. But nowadays, it's even easier for just one tweet or one photo that's shared without consent or indiscriminately to ruin someone's life. And in my case, I really internalized that. I thought all I was how my classmates defined me, which was a slut.
Yeah, well, and even your friends who might cheerfully say to you, well, you know, they're saying you're a slut. Here's another part of the book where somebody said to you, oh, you're such a tease, because you're not putting out, you know, for someone. And then you're blaming yourself for being a tease, for not following through on your false reputation as a slut.
That's when it becomes really dangerous, is when we kind of buy into this. And most of us as young women, as preteens, teenagers, and actually many of us as adult women find it hard to escape that dichotomy. Either you, quote, put out or you don't. And in that case, like you said, people might tell you you're a tease. And if you've been told this enough and if you've been convinced that really what your friends say about you is true, then it's really easy to believe that. And that's when it becomes dangerous, because that's when girls often turn to self-harm, as I did, or consider taking their own lives, as I did.
Well, that was quite shocking to come across towards the end of the book, when your younger self does take a razor to your wrists. Because for much of the book, you've been trying to play. It feels like, and in your comments in the margin, you do note that much of the time it feels like you're trying to play a part. You even maybe quote from TV shows, things that you realize now, I didn't know about that. So even though this is a diary, and for a long time anonymous, you see your young self trying to live up to something.
As anyone knows who's ever tried to keep a diary or journaled to get through something that's difficult, it can be a really useful coping mechanism. But I also used it to convince myself in some entries that things weren't as bad as I was experiencing them, or that I was in control in ways that I clearly wasn't. So that's why it was so important to me to add this commentary, so that people aren't reading this middle school girl's diary just at face value.
Here's a couple of lines. At one point you talk about, this is I think in the basement with Zach, He tried to get his hand up my shirt. He was stronger. Finally, I gave in. There's another point where you're at a school dance with Matt, and he starts to touch you inappropriately, and you describe the younger you. These are the words of a younger person. You describe your body just freezing because you just don't know what to do. I mean, I just, for those who would say, oh, come on, why didn't you just say no? There's a lot revealed in your diaries about why a young girl can't sometimes just say no.
It's so frustrating to me. In all conversations when we're talking about female sexuality, and especially when we're talking about sexual assault and consent, there's this reaction that, well, if it was really that bad, you should have told someone. Or if it was really that bad, you should have gone to the police. Or why didn't you blank, basically? And judging the person who was the target of the bullying or the victim of the sexual assault for not acting like a perfect victim, whatever that looks like, or for not acting in ways that we think if we were in that situation, we would have.
Well, because these were all popular kids. These were your friends you wanted to be, you want to be a part of. I mean, I would imagine if without this group of friends, and it was pretty extensive, then you're an isolated kid.
Exactly. At that age, you don't have the perspective to recognize that the people upon whose opinions you're hanging your identity, those people don't need to matter in a few years, let alone when you're an adult.
There's so much here. You talk about other girls. There's one entry here where you're saying about another girl, I knew that those boys were going to do that to her because they got sick of her poser slut act, and now it's annoying. I told her this would happen. And then in the margin you write, I'm so disturbed that I remove all the blame from the boys. That happens a lot, that you write in the margins. I can't believe I blame myself instead of the boys, some of whom have reached out to you.
Right. And I'll give a shout out to the boy whose name I changed to Tyler, who's a great guy, who apologized. He contributed to a crowdfunding campaign I was doing for a related film to show his support. He has a Define Slut t-shirt, which we sell online. He's really on board. And he said reading through my diaries opened his eyes. And I hope that it will do the same for other straight guys who might not have any need to think about slut shaming or how it affects the girls in their lives and the women who have to suffer through it daily.
It's interesting. There's a young woman I adore who went through something like that. And I didn't know about your project, but unslut is the perfect way to put it. You can seize back who you think you are. And it's interesting because you're talking not just about girls who maybe didn't do anything and or maybe did a couple of little things, and then the rumors started and there they get the label. But you also say, wait a minute, why can't young women be as adventurous as men if they want to without being called a slut, the way young men aren't called promiscuous if they participate and enjoy it?
Almost every woman I speak to about this project either went through something similar herself at some point in her life, or one of her friends did, or she knows that girl who had that rumor spread about her in high school. Yet there's also this sense of complacency almost. Well, that's just the way it's always been. It's that way for girls. It's not that way for boys. And that's so unfair. And I think it's such a perfect time now when we have the ability to examine some things about gender fluidity and about sexuality in general and the layer that social media and publicity adds to that.
Much of what happened to you was good old-fashioned rumors and parents' landline phones, people talking on the phone all night. Then, of course, the internet does come along and you turn on one day and there's somebody with a screen name, Die Emily Linden, who turned out to be a girlfriend of yours who wrote, "Why don't you just kill yourself?" How old were you at that point?
At that time, I was 12, I think, 11 or 12.
What did it feel like in your late 20s to be reminded to read that you tried to kill yourself?
It was jarring to me, but I knew that I had done that. When I heard about girls who had been committing suicide because of going through something similar in recent years, that was where it really resonated, where I thought, I almost did that too. And it was an obligation almost to then share my story.
Well, and also your happy ending, which kids should hear. Because in high school, you discovered your incredible voice, became known for your musical theater talent, had a nice boyfriend. Things can change.
Right. And there's no way to know that. I think that's what I'm really hoping that this book will do, will provide solidarity and comfort to realize that it can get better, that they can make their lives better and they can redefine themselves. I want it to be a catalyst for overcoming this definition of oneself.
Yeah. Well, you also might prompt other phone calls being made from people of all different ages back to somebody in high school or middle school to apologize.
Yeah. Well, I was terrible to my peers as well. Even though I was being sexually bullied daily, I turned around and bullied other people, and I sexually bullied other people. I called other girls sluts. And it's not like I was going out of my way to be awful. It was just normal. I was participating in this normal, toxic type of interactions that many of us have as preteens and as adolescents and honestly as adults as well.
That's Emily Linden, or the name she's taken to publish her diary and memoir of being labeled a slut. It's called Unslut. We'll link you to the web project as well. Emily, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And by the way, that girl who was her friend who used that screen name, Die Emily Linden, also called a couple decades later to apologize and talk. Has this started a conversation for you? We'll have an excerpt of Emily's book at our site, herenow.org, along with a link to the Unslut Project. And we'd love to hear your thoughts as well.